Welcome to another episode of Chad and Steve Have a Podcast. In this very special episode, we welcome the star and co-creator of Clean My Space, Melissa Maker, to talk about the rise of cleanfluencers, gender stereotypes on YouTube, the difference between making YouTube videos and doing live TV, and Melissa shares some fun stories about her journey towards a cleaner life. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. This is Chad and Steve Have a Podcast. I am Steve Ramsey, and my co-host is Chad Reynolds. And we're excited today to have Melissa Maker on the show. Since 2010, Melissa has been the host of Clean My Space, the biggest channel on YouTube dedicated to helping you not just clean everything, but organize and to kind of to make some sense out of your life. I think that in a lot of ways, this is the core message of Clean My Space. It has a lot more to do than just cleaning. Melissa is an entrepreneur with a successful cleaning business in Toronto. She's got a line of cleaning gear. She's appeared on like tons of TV shows, and she's a best-selling author. Tell us a little bit. I know a lot of listeners to our show probably have heard this story because, well, Chad has told it, and truth be told, Chad is your husband. But I want to hear it from you. Tell us a little bit more on how you got into YouTube, and not just YouTube, but a cleaning channel on YouTube, especially because I know that you don't really particularly like cleaning, do you?
I think that's a polite way to put it, without using expletives on the podcast. Here's the thing that I think everyone should know. Chad was entirely instrumental in my entire cleaning career. And I won't use the word entire in a sentence twice again, I promise. We started dating in June of 2006. And by August of 2006, Chad had an established career as an entrepreneur. And he was 29 at the time when we started dating. I was 23. I was working a job, a glamorous administration job at a bank. And I say that because it was like a glammed up title, but it was really just admin work at a bank. And I was unhappy. And, you know, one of the things that initially brought Chad and I together was our shared love of entrepreneurship, except he was living the dream and I was the laughing stock of all the entrepreneurs, you know, like the person still doing the job they hate. And Chad encouraged me. My parents weren't too happy about this, but my boyfriend thought it was a good idea that I quit my job at the bank and pursue a business opportunity. So I did that, and Chad brought me flowers to my office and tucked them into the windshield of my car on the day I quit. And he just did that and drove off. He didn't work too far away from where my office was. It was really sweet, Chad. That was a really nice thing. You could do that again if you want.
Chad is he's the Ryan Gosling of this podcast.
He really is. But yeah, you know, I quit that job. I took a serving job, which I was doing that throughout university anyway. So I was comfortable with that role and I liked it. And it was good money for me at the time. It was stable and it allowed me the time to think during the day and kind of plan and consider what I was doing or what I wanted to do. I had a student property at the time that I owned with two other people. And it was such a pigsty. Like the students were such a disaster. They did not care about the space at all. And seeing that, I felt incensed that like my little baby investment was being so poorly treated by these students. And then on top of that, what I did was I kind of just put it out to the universe. I'm like, just give me a sign. What am I supposed to do? And then I shut up and I wanted to get into something really like fun and glamorous, like accessories or bathing suits or beauty, something or other. And that's just not the direction that I was supposed to go in, because I started to hear people talk about cleaning, you know, oh, I can't find a good cleaning person, or I hate cleaning, or my friends moved out on their own for the first time and they were working and they had no work-life balance and they couldn't come home and clean. plus the feelings I was having about my student property, it all started to culminate and make sense. You know, when I would run it by Chad, I spoke with my uncle, who was also my business mentor, and with kind of their help, plus my experience working at the restaurant, which was like a great brand. So they had really good training and customer service and all of my business school experience. I put a business plan together. I learned how to clean, not online, because there were no YouTube videos back then. And then Chad was the one who made me my first flyer. I don't know if you can pull up that document and put it in the show notes, but it's hideous, but it worked and it was beautiful at the time. I mean, we would look at it now so many years later and be like, ugh. But you know, back then it was perfect.
I imagine it being like one of these flyers, like a band flyer, and he would post it up on street lamps and things.
That's pretty much what we did. And then we also we emailed the flyer out to friends and family. I left business cards at coffee shops. Like, it was really boots to the ground. And I got my first few clients that way. Chad put my website together because he was in web design. And, you know, he helped me with some of the marketing, the branding aspects of the business. We got little shirts made with logos. Like, he was very helpful that way. And really emotionally supportive. Like, that I think is a huge thing for an entrepreneur. They need that support. And Chad did that for me. And then 5 years later, you know, we got through the recession of 2008. The business grew fivefold that year. And Chad said, right around the time we got married, he said, you know, I think we should make YouTube videos to promote the service business. And I'm like, what are you talking YouTube? Like, that's for makeup. Like, he's like, no, Melissa, I think there's something there. And we started to do a little bit of, you know, looking around, and YouTube was a very different place back then. And I will also say, to Chad's credit, he told me I had to get all the domains, all the YouTube.
He still does that.
Yeah, like, we had to secure all the accounts immediately, which is such good advice.
Oh yeah.
And even when Riley was born, we got her name in an email address, like, just so we could have it for her.
I did the same thing with Wyatt. When he was born, I wanted a world of Wyatt's World. I thought it was like Wayne's World.
Oh.
Somebody had already taken that. So he became World of Wyatt, and that was like 24 years ago. He still has that domain. So he can have that, at least that one email address will follow you for your whole life.
Yeah. So that was Chad's thinking. And, so he was the one who really spearheaded the videos. And he said, I was like, well, like, we don't have this, and I don't know how to be on the camera. Like, it was just so awkward. I mean, it was horribly awkward. But yeah. Chad, I mean, everything was wrong with those videos, and they're still up there. You can see them online and laugh along with us.
Do you remember what you edited them in? Because I've shared this on the podcast before, that you actually edited the first maybe like 5 or 6 videos by yourself, and you put in some pictures, and you put in a little chalkboard, and it's like, here's the different things you'll need.
It must have been iMovie or like some totally basic program.
Right. Those your earliest videos aren't that bad though, really. Yeah. I mean, all things considered, I was looking at some of those, and they're like, well, not that bad. You got the information out there, which is why people were really watching those at the time, you know. What do you think about this idea of, okay, so I saw a couple of these interviews that you did where people are having a hard time wrapping their head around the idea of a YouTube channel devoted to cleaning. And it just seemed like it seemed like one of these old media versus new media kind of things. Ooh. And there was an interview I saw, and I'm sure you know which one it is. I don't remember the guy's name.
I do.
Okay. I don't know if you want to say his name or if that's
it. Matt Galloway.
Okay.
CBC.
So
we're going to tag him in this video.
He was being like really kind of just aggressive on this fact, like, why do people need to learn how to clean a toilet? He was like laughing, like, this is such a joke. I got the impression he was like, these stupid millennials, they have to have somebody teach them how to clean a toilet. And of course, people always fixate on cleaning the toilet, even though there's a billion other things you can clean in your house, you know. But and it seems to be like that's a continual refrain that I hear, is that these people, they just don't quite, they can't get it. And yet at the same time, they can understand a channel devoted to cats or skateboarding or, you know, all these other things that, you know, people are doing. There's nothing, you know, that far other than they just don't understand the YouTube space and how it works.
So I'll give you a little story behind the story there, because that was one of the most difficult interviews I've ever, probably the worst interview I've ever had.
Well, we haven't finished this interview yet, so.
Well,
hold on,
my husband's here, so I feel like it can't be that bad.
Aww.
He'll protect me. So Matt, he's a really beloved interviewer here in Canada. Like, people really love his work. And I was very excited to be on his show. I was very honored. And I went down, I was dressed up, and, you know, I was very excited to be in studio. Like, when you used to actually go to someone's studio and like do something in their studio with them. That was great. Anyway, so ahead of the call, the producer and I were chatting, and I had recently done an interview for a Canadian magazine called Chatelaine. And it was all about like the lost art of homekeeping or domestic. Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, the class economics. In school, home economics.
It's like woodworking.
See, that's how, exactly. I can't even remember what it's called. So it was all about the lost art of home ec. And the article was amazing, and it got a lot of residual press. And that's where CBC Radio saw me, and they wanted to bring me in to talk to Matt. So ahead of time, I talked with the producer. She asked me all these questions. She's like, great, I'm going to give all of this to Matt. This is exactly how it's going to go. And I said, okay, cool. Like, this, she said, this conversation is basically what you can expect on air. I said, great. Went down, felt very prepared. Matt was lovely when we were off air. And then they did traffic, they did weather, and we're back on air. And I'm sitting there, and he just changed gears entirely.
Damn.
And you can see that interview, and it was very difficult. And you're right, Steve. Like, he almost sneered at people that watched cleaning videos. And he treated me as though I was taking advantage of people.
Right.
Like, here you are, you're this business student, and then you make this YouTube channel, and you're taking advantage of people. And he's like, you know, I learned how to fix a sink on YouTube, but who needs to know how to clean a toilet? And to us, I mean, our channel has been predicated upon the fact that cleaning is something that is expected of you to do and expected of you to know, but there is actually a method to it, and no one really talks about it. And I hate cleaning because I found it so frustrating, because my parents, who are lovely, well-meaning people, just never took the time to be like, okay, this is how to clean a toilet, this is how to do this. They were just like, do this, clean that, fix this. And it was frustrating because I wasn't nailing it. So we empower people through knowledge. Knowledge is power. And that's kind of what we offer.
I got to say, I mean, that you handled yourself, you know, brilliantly on that. When you first started YouTube, did you have that level of self-awareness to be able to handle an interview like that? Or was that just something that you just kind of grew into?
No, I didn't. I didn't at all. And Chad came with me, but I took some media training early on in my career, after one or two TV segments that I did. And, you know, Chad and I discussed, and we were like, if this is going to be a thing, like, we better learn what we have to do.
Be prepared for it. Yeah.
So, what year was it that the Stephen and Chris show called you to do an ironing segment on their show? You only had the cleaning. I believe that was kind of like the first like media reach out, and they were looking for someone who owned a house cleaning company or a maid service. And they had called some other people, and just, you know, they probably were run by people who didn't have the ability to go on live nationwide television on the CBC and put a segment together for like on this fairly popular talk show in Canada. And sorry, what year was that? Was that like 2013?
I think no, Chad. Maybe I think it was then? Like, I was still in the condo. So I think it was like 2007.
Wow.
Yeah. I was entirely unqualified to be on that show.
That's funny when you get kind of thrust into those situations and you just kind of deal with it. It's a great learning experience, you know, no matter how you look at it, you're going to take away a lot from that kind of thing.
And you went to your mom and you were like, what should I, because they're like, you jumped on the opportunity because you're Melissa Maker and you literally will just jump all over an opportunity like this. So you're like, yes, I will do it. And now I will figure out how I'm going to do it, which that is your career in like a saying, like, I'm going to figure out how to do this and do this to the best of my ability. And you did. However, you ironed a few wrinkles into the shirt when you were supposed to be wrinkling or ironing wrinkles out of the shirt.
It switched to camera B and it was like close. It was doing a close up right on my hands. And I'm like, so as you can see, this is how you do it. They're like getting a close up of me, like hard ironing a wrinkle into a shirt. And I'm like pouring sweat.
We all do those kind of things. Those happen on a YouTube video. You can always just put a little notation under there. Ha ha, I screwed this up. It doesn't work. Because on YouTube, everybody will just call you out on it. You know,
you know what? Like, I like the fact that that's in my history because I think we all have to stumble and screw up to approach everything with humility, like never forget how easy it is to screw something up. So always be humble and use that to your advantage. So you don't think you just walk on and, you know, can be perfect every time. Like you have to work for your success. And second of all, like, I think if I didn't have that story, I wouldn't have tried harder to improve. So shortly after that, I think I did maybe one or two other segments, Chad, like maybe a Roger Singer City Line. And then we decided to see Diana, who is the media coach. And we've spent an afternoon with her. It was an arm and a leg. At the time, it was quite an investment. Chad came with, and she was a former news anchor, 25 years experience. And she just worked with me for about 3 hours and gave us really what we needed to make compelling content.
What's your biggest takeaway from that? What would you tell somebody who is just unprepared for, you know, maybe they got thrust into a media spotlight, unprepared or something? What's your biggest takeaway, biggest bit of advice?
Wow. There were a few things. First of all, she was very big on the hook. Make me listen, make me care. That was a big thing for her. So if you only have a few minutes, you really have to come out knowing what your hook is. Second of all, she always told me, like, I was so concerned about getting all of my points out. And she's like, at the end of the day, people aren't going to remember the points that you came onto the segment to talk about. They're going to remember if the host liked you. So she's like, build your rapport with the host.
Very good.
Focus on that, who would have ever known that?
Yeah. I have learned that over the years on my YouTube channel and on this podcast now. And there's a lot of things that we'll have listed. Chad and I have a list of things we want to talk about. And we're lucky if we get through a few of those. And it's the same on my YouTube channel. I'll have a subject that's something I want to cover. And then it always just gets, okay, whittled down. There's no way I'm going to cover all of those. But you kind of have to start with that. Start with that base, I guess.
I love the Matt Galloway story because so that video is on YouTube. Anybody who's listening to this can search. I think it's like if you search for like Melissa Maker interview or something like that. And there's a picture because there's a video feed as well because they had a camera in the studio. Yeah. And when you got there, you put your purse on the table and you didn't realize that it was like going to be a video as well. And there's a picture of your purse in front of like almost in front of your face. He's sitting there and being like, you're clearly such a smart person. You have all of this wonderful education and all of the rest. And then he kind of uses that as a dig to kind of present it like you're being opportunistic and taking advantage of people and being like, haha, I'm making all of this, you know, ad revenue off of, you know, people watching my videos. And it's just this stupid content that anybody could do. But after we started doing this for a while and you start getting all of the emails and the messages from people and you start realizing that everybody's backstory to where they got to the point where they needed to search on YouTube for how to clean their bathtub or how to clean their toilet. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a different story. We didn't even think about the person who was 65 years old and recently widowed, and it was their wives who took care of the whole house, and now they're in a position where they need to like move on, or it's a child who's like growing up in a family where they're the only clean person in the family, and everybody else in the family, you know, doesn't have that same thing, and they feel lonely and all of the rest. And then you realize it's like, what you think is silly is actually the one kind of common thing which makes YouTube the amazing tool that it is, because it is about, and now it hears this tool that can be used to help people do actual practical things in their lives. And he ended up coming across as like a cynical person in traditional media, really being afraid about this new way to actually do something. And it kind of backfired in his face. And if you read the comments, and not so much that it backfired, but there's a wonderful ending to this, not ending, but there was a continuation to this story where you got reached out to by what inevitably would be over your left shoulder, which is the Clean My Space book. So
yeah, 2 hours after that interview, I got a call from Penguin and they said, we'd like to have you in. We just heard you on CBC with Matt Galloway, and we'd love to have you in for a meeting to talk about a book.
It's a great book too. I love that. It's like, I like to call those like bathroom books. You know, you can put them in your bathroom and it's you read little bits of, you know, it's not like you have to read through the entire book, but it's a good one.
Thanks. Yeah. It was designed to be an easy to consume resource, not just like a quick read and you put it down, but something that I wanted people to be able to access.
Yeah.
You know, anytime they needed to know how to do a basic anything, like that book is basically my training program. That's how I train my staff. And I always like to whittle things down, to use your term, to the lowest common denominator, not in a demeaning way, but in a way where I like information to be easy to consume. And I feel like if I'm training staff, I just want to make it as easy as possible.
Right.
So when I put the book together, everything is in like simple, easy to consume steps. Just to go back to something Chad was saying earlier, the channel is about helping people. The channel is about empowering people, and it's about helping people make incremental changes in their lives. So yes, the content's about cleaning, but what Matt missed was that people kept coming back because we helped them feel good. We helped them feel empowered. And that is something that when Chad said to me, let's make a YouTube channel, we were selfish. I always say to people, like, we were entirely selfish when we were doing that. It was just for our website to rank well. We didn't realize how helpful we would be. And right. Like, I swear to you, we get emails that make us tear up. Like, it's just unbelievable the way that cleaning videos, and Steve, you must see this with your content too. Like, the way people will tell you, it just has changed them.
Yeah.
I think I feel that like
a lot of
things resonate with people that you just don't expect.
One of the things I noticed, and this is about your channel, and it is about my channel, is that when you're racking up, say, you know, 100,000 views on a video of how to clean mud off of your couch or something. So I don't know what it would be. I don't know why I came up with that example, but something like that. Those 100,000
people on your couch.
It's like, stop walking around on your couch after you've been out in the rain.
Really, take your shoes off.
Oh, I got to ask you about something about that too. Okay. Later. We'll get to that. Okay. So,
okay.
So I think if you get 100,000 people watching that video, not all of them, in fact, I would say most of them aren't necessarily there because they want to learn that particular thing. I get the impression that, I mean, every time you see your house, it's immaculate. Everything is beautiful and everything. And I know that it could be some smoke and mirrors there. I do the same thing in my shop. Every time I want to, you know, make something, I shove everything off to the side.
She could move that camera 1/4 of a millimeter to the left and all the wheels fall off the whole charade.
But don't you think that people, that would be like, it would be spoiling that. In other words, I think people like to watch these kind of channels in a lot of ways because they're aspirational and they're, it's about a bigger picture. And it's about, I kind of want that lifestyle. I want to be like that. I don't really need to know every detail about every single thing that I'm going to need to know how to clean. But if I start watching this person, you know, she's got a great personality. It's fun to watch her, and the show's well produced. And it's just a nice diversion and it gives me something to aspire to. I mean, I get that with my woodworking videos from people who don't woodwork at all. They don't own any tools, but they like to watch the videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is I think we're mildly aspirational because we are realistic in that, you know, we tell people we don't live in a perfectly clean home. I like to say my house is 7 out of 10 on a good day. Which I think is fine. Like it's true, right, Chad? Like
I think we all live in 4 out of 10 and 5 out of 10 on a regular basis. I think you start looking around your house and being like, something needs to change when you start getting 2 and 3 out of 10. But yeah, no, 7 out of 10 is being like the cleanest your house is going to get. That's really good.
I mean, we're busy people. You know, we both work from home. We have a little girl. Like it's a lot of work to keep up. We don't have a nanny. Like it's the two of us just taking care of our house, and it. You have to make sacrifices. So I think our audience appreciates our candor and our honesty. And sometimes I find with some of the other aspirational channels in our space, it's almost done to a fault where it makes the viewer feel ashamed that they're not there. And I never want our audience, this is like a communal feeling that our whole team has. Like we never want our audience to feel inferior or unable to achieve something. We always want them to leave a video of ours feeling empowered, even to make the smallest change.
Right, right. I think you're doing a great job on that.
Can I say something, Steve?
Please jump in.
Because I didn't want to cut you off because I know you have questions, but I do want to say something that you mentioned earlier. And it was either you or Chad actually, but it was about, actually, I think it was Chad, how old media, there's this divide between old media and new media. I want to touch on that for a minute because there is quite a bit of friction and I'm not sure if you've experienced any of this, but there are some TV shows where I know I've apparently, according to some producers who I'm friendly with, have intimidated the host where they see like the success of new media. And I don't think it's just me. I think they've seen other YouTube creators and they're just like, wow, you're taking away my ad dollars, right? Like YouTube's diverting ad dollars and my show's not getting the same sponsor deals that we used to. And, you know, I think perhaps that was what was going on with the radio interview, my pet fly is here. Not that it's been here for 4 months. Not that.
You probably have something that's a mess in the house that's attracting flies.
That's probably what it is.
It must be the pile of old tuna cans in the corner that I have to throw out. So with Matt, like I think he was more just incredulous with the way that I was doing things. But with this other person who shall not be named, because they are quite a force in the Canadian media space. But yeah, it was really apparent, like this person did not want me back on their show because for whatever reason, apparently they were not comfortable having me on there. And I think they felt threatened.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting. And you know, people like you and I, we know what we're talking about. We're experts. We've done our 10,000 hours. We should be able to go on any media outlet and talk with authority about what we do.
Yeah, and probably even with more authority because we do it on more of a regular basis in a more meaningful way. Because at TV, all of that new media, it tends to live in its own little bubble. And you see them now, like, it's interesting to see them in a way kind of scrambling to get into new media space when they're like basically 10 years late to the show and they're just trying to come in on. And you can see this in, at least in the home improvement and maker space where you get these TV shows who are trying to come in here and it just doesn't work because there's not that interaction among the show's creator and host with the audience, which is what YouTube is all about.
So with the success of like the Cleanfluencer thing, which like especially like earlier this spring and late last year has been a huge thing. There's been articles in The Atlantic, New York Times, Washington Post. And I think it was it the spring of last year that the first kind of Cleanfluencer using that term and putting an article out there, which was talking about this new group of people who were either on Instagram or on YouTube in the cleaning space and putting out content, and that kind of becoming popularized. Do you find that now that it's actually become popularized, that that has helped the community? Or do you think that actually puts up more boundaries towards it doing what we are trying to do with it? Whereas now it's a thing. Now it has a name associated with it. So everybody knows what to do on their Instagram accounts. Post the picture of the latest, you know, this, do it at this angle, da, da, da. So you're kind of going through and just doing something kind of by the books because you know it's going to get engagement. So that's good. But at the same time, it's now there's a time where people are talking about these channels who are doing it, and Clean Mama and all of these other, Marie Kondo and whatnot. And they're getting lumped into just like the pizzazz of it all, as opposed to what we were trying to do, which was, you know, put out, you know, reliable, useful cleaning information. Do you think it's gotten away from that now that it's become popular and it's more about how many clicks and views and how much money you can make?
Well, I'll challenge you on that one, Chad, because if you look at all of those articles that we've been in really good company.
Very much
for most
so.
Of them. I think very some of them so. Have some questionable choices, but for most of them, I think we've seen a lot of the same players, right? Mm-hmm. We're always seeing the same people show up. And that's because I think when a journalist truly does their homework, they can tell who's in it to, you know, make some extra money, and they can tell who's in it because they're an authority on the topic. Like mm-hmm. Becky knows what she's doing. Marie Kondo knows what she's doing. Lindsay, Queen of Clean, knows what she's doing. Like, these are people who really know what they're doing, and we get talked about a lot because I think, you know, that's what people like to see. That's what they like to lean on. And when COVID hit, people were coming to our channel. We had our biggest month in April of last year.
Whoa, yeah, it seems we're like not it.
But I'm dying to get there. We had our banner April last year. Like, it was our best month because people were looking for the expertise, right? They were looking mm-hmm. for that info. And I doubt they were going to, like, you know, Susie329, who just does clean with me videos, to find out how to properly disinfect. They were coming to us, right?
Right. Yeah. Where else are you going to go? And there, you don't have, in your space, you don't really have a lot of competition on YouTube. I mean, when I look for cleaning channels, it's basically Clean My Space. You know, I mean, there's some others, but nowhere near, or that's one aspect of what they do. But I also wanted to ask you about, and this to me is really interesting, on how your channel is not just cleaning, but a lot of organizing, of course, you know, trying to make sense out of your life. And even more interesting to me is your approach to minimalism, because I think, I don't know when you kind of got into this, but I have a feeling we were right around that same period of time. I remember talking to you about it a couple of years ago, but I really have just embraced the entire philosophy of just kind of less is more, shedding myself of things that I don't really need any longer, and trying to be more purposeful about the things that I do buy. But at the same time, I kind of recently have had this like switch go off in my head and think, you know, minimalism is kind of, it almost feels like this really privileged space to be in, that, you know, I can go around and say, yes, I'm a minimalist because I've been in a position where I can accumulate stuff that I no longer need. And the more I think about it, the more I kind of think, I don't know if I even want to kind of use that term anymore, of like, look at me getting rid of stuff, when there's people who barely have, you know, a base existence of things that they need to just survive. And is this kind of a concept of minimalism that could actually help people who don't have a lot of things to improve their lives? Or is it just a bunch of people who have too much stuff sitting around, kind of like, oh, I need to get rid of this stuff? I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things that I think about.
You know, that's really interesting. I haven't thought about it from a privileged standpoint, but you bring up a really good point. The thing that has driven me to talk so much about minimalism. And just to be clear, like, I'm not a minimalist who, you know, is like austere by any means. Like, we have stuff. But going through and decluttering all the time makes me really think about what I buy and really question purchases. I mean, Chad and I have worked on this together as individuals and as a family. Like, it's really important to us. We think about all of our purchases, and we're of the mind where we'd rather spend more money and get the better thing than spend less money and get the cheap thing that we're going to have to replace faster. And that's, you know, from an investment standpoint, a convenience standpoint, and from an environmental standpoint. So minimalism, I think it's a good mindset for everyone to adopt. And I think you can fall anywhere on the spectrum. I just think maybe minimalism isn't even the right word, Steve. Like, maybe it's, as you said, like purposeful. Maybe it's just purposeful consumption or meaningful consumption. Because what I see, and some of the things that really break my heart on YouTube, are these like massive haul videos where people are going out and buying like seasonal things that they're only going to use. And they're like, this is how I'm decorating for, you know, Thanksgiving 2020, which this is year. Entirely different from 2019. So right. In my mind, I'm like, well, what are you doing with all the 2019 stuff? Like, you spent $400. Where's that? In a landfill that your grandchildren are going to have to deal with someday? So, you know, for me, it's more about thinking through our purchases, and if we can, buying what we need, what we love, what we're going to use, and leaving everything else. And even that in and of itself is a privilege. So yeah, you do bring up a really, really good point there. Something I don't think Chad and I have pondered before.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I still kind of, I'm embracing the lifestyle as much as I can of just kind of living with less. And it, mostly it's just more about kind of, the bigger thing is decluttering my mind, you know, just kind of having less stuff makes me think a little bit clearer, I suppose. But I really like it when you have those videos, and I kind of like that your channel has explored all of these topics, even though it's Clean My Space. Hey, when you first started, was that a thing? Like, was that, there was probably no question. Was it, did people think it might've been Clean My Space?
Trying to get good SEO or search terms with MySpace back in the day, and MySpace was an actual thing, and you used to be able to have backgrounds on your MySpace page. So clean MySpace backgrounds demolished all of the search results. So for a very long time, we had nothing to work with.
There's also something called Clean My Mac.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, whatever that is. Anyway, that hogged a whole bunch of terms for us as well. I always tell people, like, if you're going to name a business or name a YouTube channel, like, you better come up with something that, like, it's like a name for a child that you're not going to get sick of,
right?
That you're going to be okay yelling, that you're going to be okay saying on national television, because Clean My Space feels so 2006. And like, we saw so many people kind of riff off of that in their own iterations of businesses, like Organize My Office, or like someone in our city like came up with a cleaning service called Clean My Premises. I remember we had a cease and desist letter. But I mean, like, it's unbelievable how many people have used that kind of phrasing. And yeah, I mean, we would never change the name, obviously, but it just feels,
Do you remember coming up with the name Clean My Space? And was there a lot of conversation between you and Chad?
Remember we used to have phone calls? I used to pace around my apartment.
Oh, I don't want to talk about those phone calls on your podcast.
Those phone calls, Melissa.
Ooh.
We thought about it for
a
good
while. We did have phone calls.
I don't remember if there was a whole bunch of back and forth, but I remember for a little while being like, I don't know if it was the right whatever, but in the long run, I still love Clean My Spaces. And do you still like it?
Yeah, I do. I think Chad, we were in your apartment on Bathurst, and I was sitting on your couch and you were sitting on your office chair, and we were just chatting back and forth. You took a picture of me that day.
Yes, we have a picture.
Remember in that
moment.
Yellow t-shirt? Yeah, like you had a picture when we came up with the name of the business.
We'll put that in the show notes too.
Will we?
No.
Don't mind the bad hair.
We don't put anything in the show notes.
Okay. We don't put anything in the show. We need to start doing show notes. Yeah. Is what we
I'm gonna write that down. Put show notes.
You'll put that idea in your show notes. But yeah, I think that's when it happened. Like Chad and I were sitting in his apartment and we were chatting, and I think we kind of went back and forth a few times. And I remember saying to him, like, I think it should be Clean My Space. I've sat with it and
that one resonated the most. That one kind of like stuck, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of like, it's so wonderfully literal, and it's space doesn't mean you live in a condo or an apartment or a house or a shack or a garage or whatever it may be. It's my space and you need to clean it. So
we've cleaned all kinds of spaces.
But that's for another podcast.
What do you think about the word clean? What is it called? Cleanfluencer? See, I think that if you have influencer and cleaning, the natural thing would be influ cleanser, right?
Ooh. That sounds like something you need to go to the doctor for.
Maybe I need to work on
that. Or it sounds like
that.
A product you would get affiliate commission for.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you probably don't want to do anything. Have you heard of, I'm sure you have, Swedish death cleaning. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, so I'm roughly familiar with the concept. So the funny thing is, like, yes, I'm a cleanfluencer, but I actually don't spend a lot of time reading about cleaning in my downtime, like learning about other cleaning concepts.
I don't read about woodworking either. Same thing. Yeah. I really don't. It's not the thing I do.
So if I'm not mistaken, I think Swedish death cleaning is like the process of cleaning your stuff up ahead of your death, so that you don't burden your family with all the crap that they have to clean after you die.
Yeah. I think
I wish Chad would do some Swedish death cleaning. No,
I don't even know what that means.
I do. He's got a couple of areas in this house.
Yeah.
I always say to him, if you die, this is all going in the garbage.
Jesus. I remember my grandmother was getting old and she started giving away lots of stuff. And I think it was kind of the same thing. She was just kind of getting to that point.
Yeah, my mom's gone through that as well. She's like moving on from photographs and whatnot. It's just like, I don't need it. I don't need it anymore. And I don't want you to worry about it, you know, after. So you don't see huge. I never knew that, actually. I didn't know anything about Swedish death cleaning.
I just like the name of it. Especially, and this is, you know, for everybody listening to this, it's next week, but we're recording this on Friday the 13th, and this is our 13th episode. So, you know, Swedish death cleaning, Friday the 13th.
Lucky 13.
Naturally.
I was going to say, my mom, when we moved, so my mom, my parents were divorced when I was 14. Oh, this is a whole therapy session.
Ooh, tell us more.
Joking. No, okay. So my parents divorced when I was 14, and then my mom remarried when I was about 22. So that's when we moved out. My sister and I bought a condo. So my mom at that point, like, clean swept the whole house. Like, we threw out tons of stuff that we were hanging on to. You know, we were in that house since like 1986 or something like that. We moved out in 2007. So there was tons of stuff to get rid of. And I remember my sister and I felt so sad that my mom was like throwing out our old artwork. Like, we felt rejected by our mom, you know, and my mom was just like, girls, I don't need this. You don't need this. We'll save a small pile of it, but everything else we can get rid of. And shortly before that happened, her mother passed away, and her two sisters, she and her two sisters had to clean out my grandmother's condo. And it was a ton of work. They had to go through all her affairs, and it was so much work for them. And I think my mom at that point was just like, I'm not going to be that way with my stuff. And she has moved, I think, about four times since then. And each move, she's eliminated more stuff. And now she's in the smallest condo. She's about 850 square feet now. And she's so pared down. And she is so happy with the little stuff that she has, because she's just, everything in her home is, I hate to overuse this word, but it's curated. Like, really, she's picked what she's wanted to keep. She's decorated it in the way that makes her happy. She knows where everything is. And there's no like secret hiding spot for her garbage, you know?
It's beautiful. It is, really. It is.
It is.
You pare it all down. I want to switch gears with you really quickly, Melissa, and ask you, I'm sure this is a question you get asked a lot, but being a woman on YouTube, there's certainly nothing unusual about that anymore. And maybe we're kind of getting into a postmodern era of that being a thing. But do you think that that has influenced how your channel has progressed and how you view YouTube and how you react to your audience? And is it, do you think you face your own particular challenges, especially doing cleaning videos, which kind of, you know, inspires people to think of that, oh, the stereotype, it's got to be the woman who's doing the cleaning? And just talk a little bit about that if you could.
So this is an interesting topic. It's something that I would say at the beginning didn't really faze me, because I was just approaching YouTube like an entrepreneur, not as some of the other influencers in the cleaning space who, you know, are just like, I'm a housewife and I'm going to film myself cleaning. The last thing I ever want to be is a housewife. I don't have anything against it. It is just not who I am. Like, I've always been an entrepreneur. It's in my DNA. And that was never a thing for me. So I never wanted to go on YouTube and perpetuate the concept of a housewife, because that's just not me. I wanted to perpetuate the concept of an entrepreneur, quite frankly. That said, I'm well aware, especially now being a mom, of what the weight of that means and looks like. And I think I'm in a unique situation where my husband picks up a lot of my slack. My husband actually is better at doing a lot of the housework than I am. Chad does a lot more cleaning around here than I do, and he's damn good at it. So actually, Chad's really good at tidying, and I'm really good at like the hardcore cleaning. Like, if you want the kitchen to sparkle, you bring me in, and if you want all the crap like out of there, you bring him in.
Right? Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Chad's not about sparkles.
I'm not.
No, he doesn't make anything sparkle, but he just lives it down. I'm joking, Chad. Everything sparkles because of you. But yeah, you know, with the channel, being a woman on YouTube, I don't really think one way or the other about that. What I do think, when I've been criticized about perpetuating the stereotype of a woman cleaning, is I've always clapped back and I've said, no, I'm an entrepreneur. I run 7-figure businesses. I happen to do cleaning. That's what I do, but I found an opportunity. I actually hate cleaning, but I've made a business out of it anyway. And if anything, I want people to see balance. I want them to see drive and perseverance. Like, that's what I want them to see. And the other thing, when gender started to become more of a thing for us, I think it was the first time Chad really paid attention to the analytics, and he was like, what? Like, 30% of our audience were male and were males. And he's like, we're not just talking to women here. And we had to completely adapt the way that we spoke to our audience. And I never took the approach of like, well, your lazy husband doesn't clean up his beer bottles. Like, that was never right. The approach we took. It was always, because that's my life. Like, my husband cleans up more than I do. So I was never like, when your lazy husband doesn't clean up. It was more like, if your partner is less tidy than you are, or if you're the one who picks up the slack. In other words, like, I want people to know it should never fall on one party, whether it's the husband or the wife or the male or the female, or however you identify yourself. It shouldn't fall on one person. Cleaning is a family job.
Yeah. I think that's a good tack that you take. And I think that, I mean, do you think that, have you noticed like the general, like, so comments in your YouTube videos, have they changed over time? Do you think that there was a time when people either wanted to just perpetuate that stereotype, like, yeah, this is great to see you cleaning, or were kind of offended by you doing that? Do you think that's just getting less and less now, and people are, because they're taking you seriously? And this actually kind of goes back to a conversation we had a few weeks ago. We were talking about iJustine and how she has to, I think it took her a while for people to take that seriously about, you know, doing tech reviews or something, because at first it's like, oh, I'm just going to look at this person and watch her do their thing.
A couple things I want to say. First of all, I just want to make sure that everyone understands I have the utmost respect for housewives, and they work damn hard, and I never want to take anything away from the work that they do.
It's a full-time gig. I mean, it's a full-time, it is a full-time unappreciated job. Gig yeah.
Absolutely. And I know I didn't want what I said earlier to come off in any other way aside from the fact that people just understand that wasn't what I wanted to do. And I know there are people who just want to do that, and like, full respect to them, because it is such a hard job. We've all learned that during COVID. Regarding your comment about I, Justine, I mean, the reason why we constantly reinforce cleaning expert, I own my own cleaning business, I've been doing this since 2006, is to constantly remind people that I'm not just saying this because this is my hobby. I'm saying this because, like, I'm an expert on this topic. I go on television, I'm in magazines, I've written books about it. Like, I know what I'm talking about and I want to help you. About comments, I don't read them. And I haven't for years. Actually, Chad reads all the comments and I rarely pay attention to them. And Chad told me I had to stop.
Is that just because the comments were bothering you? They were taking up too much time? What's your reason behind that?
They're inconsequential to me. I have to keep doing what I'm doing. And because this is a partnership for Chad and I, it's almost better for me to be once removed from the comments and let him get the aggregate vibe off a video when he reads the comments. But it's also really helpful that, you know, if someone says you look pregnant in this video, which is the kind of crap like you see every now and then, I mean, I don't need to be reading that. That doesn't help me.
No. And it'll be that one comment that'll just it ruins your day. Yeah.
Yeah. And if Chad can like filter through that stuff so I don't have to look at it, that's amazing. And that's a big part of what he does. Like, he does a lot of the community management, the analytics, the back end stuff. Like, he's really good at that. And I'm grateful because he'll tell me, like, he actually gives me a bit of a highlight reel of our comments, but I actually don't have to look at them. And that has been lovely.
Because it doesn't matter how long you do this. Like, if it's an off day and you read the wrong comment at the wrong time, it just sits with you and it's going to sit with you. And you could read a thousand positive comments, but it would be that one negative comment. So A, it's easier for me to do it because I'm once removed. It's not usually directly geared towards me. And it just, protects, it allows Melissa to concentrate on what she's doing, which is more of a one way kind of, like, she's concentrating on what she's saying as being, it's not to be put out there as a conversation. Hey, let's figure out what the best way is. Here's the thing. And anything that you have to say is certainly being read and considered. I certainly pass anything along that is, you know, someone giving a thoughtful response or obviously, you know, whatever, just an interesting story or whatnot. We certainly
constructive want feedback.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've encouraged comments and responding to comments, but yeah, you do get to the point where you have to tune that out. And we luckily operate everything as like more of a business as opposed to like, this is a YouTube channel and the comments are directed towards me because I'm the person who's in the videos. It's a little bit more, you know, convoluted than that is.
Yeah. And it's different than if you were to be one of those people who had more of a vlogging style channel where cleaning was a part of it. And, you know, it was that. When you make your videos, they're really polished. They're really well made videos, but do you script those and, you know, teleprompter? Do you just have bullet points and just kind of fire them off? Because you're a professional being a host on a show.
Thanks. Years ago, we started with a teleprompter and Chad or I would write the script and then we would teleprompt it. And when you look at our earlier videos and they sound like so well, you know, so articulate, that's because they were scripted and it was easy in the sense that I just had to read the script, but it was not forcing me to develop my chops. And then eventually we stopped teleprompting. It did take a little, we teleprompted for convenience, for editing convenience. It was a lot easier to do it that way. But then we realized that, you know, we got a little bit more interest in the delivery when it wasn't teleprompted. The fly, my God, the same fly from the presidential debate.
I saw it zipping by. It was like a little blur. I'm like, man, that thing is moving.
It's like watching a presidential debate here.
We decided to go unscripted. So now what it looks like is we kind of sit around, and I suppose if you've ever seen kind of behind the scenes on a movie set, you'll know they do like a table read. So Chad and Lucas, I'm sure you've talked about Lucas before. Chad and Lucas do production calls, and they kind of plan out what the content is about. And they'll say, okay, this is what we want to talk about. And then they'll kind of go through and put their preliminary points together. And then we'll sit around on the day of the shoot, and we do a bit of a table read. So we'll go through the content, and we'll sort of spitball ideas. And they'll say, okay, we want to talk about this, this, and this. What do you think, Melissa? And then I'll sort of, you know, talk to the points that they've put out there. And then if there's anything that we want to further research or refine, then, you know, we'll spend a little bit of time doing that prior to shoot. And then Chad sometimes will be in there sitting down with Luke, who's filming, and he'll sort of, you know, script supervise or help, you know, point, okay, we said this, remember to say this. And other times Luke will just be there, have his laptop, and, you know, sort of talk through the points. But the points aren't long. They're just sort of like when we were filming on Tuesday, he's like, okay, now we're going to talk about cleaning a squeegee. Record. Like, that's it.
And you know what you're going to, you know the material anyway. So it comes natural to you, I'm sure.
I find at this point, I wonder how you feel about this, Steve. Like, I'm at the point now where less notes is actually better for me, because I can free flow and I can speak authentically about the point instead of worrying about saying all the little technical things that I was so concerned about. I think like after you do this for so long, you know, you can rely on the information that's going to come out of your mouth, and you don't have to sweat it so much.
Yeah. You get more comfortable in your own skin and what you're capable of. And what do you see yourself doing? Is there anything you want to try new on your channel, or just to mix it up? Is there any ideas? Is there anything you've tried that didn't work really well that you want to talk about?
So it's really interesting, because I think our channel, and our YouTube manager has sort of confirmed this, like, our channel does really well in the back catalog. So we'll put a video out there. We've got evergreen content, and people will search a video that we put out like 4 years ago, and it's still relevant today. So I like putting videos out like that, you know, like, for example, how to clean your AirPods. And that video bombed. It didn't do well at all. But I'm adamant that we need videos like that, because that is how I think people find us. Mm-hmm. And those do really well in search in the long term. So it's always a battle between me saying, like, I think we have to do a video on how to clean a playpen. Chad and Lucas are like, absolutely. Yeah. That is going to ruin our statistics. And like, I get like the big, you know, snapping of the neck and waving of the finger. And I'm just like, guys, like, we have to do something. So there's always a bit of back and forth there. Like, I really think that sort of quick factual content is helpful, even though I know it doesn't do much for our statistics at the onset of the content, but over time it does well. So I think there's that. And then in terms of new things we want to do, I mean, we have a strategy session coming up at the end of this month. And I think we're going to talk about some things that we want to try in 2021. And that is always a roundtable discussion. The channel looks like me, but it's four people.
Right. If you could, I always
kind of wanted to say something. Look at his face.
I'm sorry.
Oh, but did you see it? And I adjusted my microphone and everything.
Yeah. I know that face.
I just wanted to say, that's right. That's it. But in all honesty, it is. We have also talked about this on the podcast, where it's a balance of like making videos in different buckets, and understand that you do a few of the things because you want that, because that's important to you. You do a few of the things because the audience wants that. And then you do a few of the things because that's just best practice. If you are a cleaning channel, you want to have 500 videos about not just the most popular cleaning things. You literally want to drill down into keyword specific, and they're not glamorous. They don't do well. They don't get good views. Mind you, sometimes they end up doing incredibly well afterwards. Yeah. We made a video about cleaning your cleaning tools years ago.
And that's taking it to a whole other level, right?
Talk there. About a meta video, right? Where you're like, we just knew it's like, well, it's clearly not like, it doesn't matter, but it is such a, like, no one, there was zero videos. There was zero articles about like how to clean a broom, how to clean a mop, how to clean a scrub brush. And nice. Anyway, so we did it years ago. It didn't do very well, but over the past couple of years, it has done well. It has more than 1 million views and whatnot. So again, making videos which are keyword specific and not always trying to make the bangers. They all can't be zingers.
I think that's a good advice for any YouTuber, is to look at a big picture, look at your whole overall channel health, and that those one, sometimes we get caught on how is this week's video going to perform, when you don't know that, you know, 2 years from now, somebody might be specifically looking for that one thing that you had in there, or a lot of people will be looking for that, and that's their entry point to your channel.
And we don't have just one person thinking like that's the way, the advantage. And like Melissa was pointing out, it's like four people. So you get like, you sometimes hear from other people, you're like, I didn't even think about that. I was kind of locked into what I thought it should be. And it's wonderful to have different, it's wonderful to be proven wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Melissa, before we go, I want to ask you something. This is a total softball question here.
I have a softball question. Okay. Too. I was waiting for my softball question.
I'll let Chad follow it up with my question. Okay. My question is, tell us something about Melissa that you love to do. What is a hobby, something you have to do? Have you ever thought about, like, I would so love to do a YouTube channel on just this one weird thing? Because for me, it'd be like, I would love to make like a movie channel. I would just like talk about movies or something. And every time I think about that, I think, well, realistically, I don't have time to get into that. But what is it, Melissa?
Not so much a YouTube channel. And it kind of depresses me when you ask about a hobby, because that's like a whole other conversation. But I think you might've heard this from some other creators, but I work so much that it's been, it's hobby has sort of fallen by the wayside. So I'm going to start thinking about what that hobby will be. The channel I'd love to do is interviewing the fly.
Fly, that's flying around.
But no, truthfully, just to sort of answer the question in a different way, what I'd really love to do is be a voiceover actor.
Oh, nice. Nice.
I was hoping you were going to say that, because I'm like, that's the truth. Like, will she say it? Because it, yeah, that is the truth.
I'd love to be like the next Peppa Pig, the next Paw Patrol character. Oh yeah. Like, just use that microphone that Chad has in a closet that we have here at the house. And
we've talked extensively about like make a sound booth. We both love doing like voices and whatnot. And then, I don't know, find a team of animators or something like that and make a cartoon or something, just so you have the excuse to like do crazy voices or whatnot.
Riley doesn't actually know what I sound like, because I never speak different regular voice.
Speaking Riley voice.
Yeah.
All right.
Melissa, you really should think about some sort of a hobby. We were just talking to Tim Schmoyer last week about this, and he eventually, you get caught up in this and you need that outlet, a new challenge.
Yeah. I do need a hobby. It sounds so basic, but it's so true. Chad, what's your question? You know everything
question,
about me.
And again,
what's
just
your
short
question?
Answer. But I thought of this actually while we were doing this, and I had some other questions, but I'm like, you know what? I've just never asked you this, and I just want to ask you this. How has your relationship with cleaning changed in the past 10 years?
Oh, that's an interesting
question. And clearly you could say a million things. So again, I don't want to like jump over my question, but like what are like the core things which have like really substantially changed?
Well, I've made a lot of money off cleaning, so I certainly appreciate it in a different way than I used to. And I'm grateful to cleaning. I realize that the people who perform cleaning, you know, in various places around the world, whether it's in a home or a baseball stadium or an office or an airport, because I cleaned in the business for, you know, what was it, 18 months or 2 years or something like that. Like I did a lot of that cleaning at the beginning. It's very humbling work. those people who do the cleaning, they work really hard and they deserve a ton of respect. And one of the things when COVID hit and I spoke to all of my staff on a big Zoom call right before I had to lay them all off because we had to close our business for 2 months. I said to them, you know, we're finally going to get the attention and the love that we deserve. Like cleaning is having its moment. So I think cleaning and cleaners are being much more appreciated now that COVID has happened. And for me, you know, I can't say I like cleaning any more than I used to. It doesn't make my blood boil the way that it used to. I still struggle. I mean, Chad, obviously, you know that. I still struggle with doing it around the house. I am much better at it and I'm much more efficient. But what I will say 100% is how much I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. I mean, a clean space changes my mood. It changes the way our family functions. It changes the way I feel about our house. Like it is so important. And I that is something that's changed for me big time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think people underestimate the power of a clean space. I mean, I have that totally. In my workshop. I just gave this advice last week when I have things that could improve your workflow is just clean up your shop, because there's nothing better than walking into my shop in the morning and having everything put away. There's no sawdust on the floor. There's just, because you walk in and it's a whole different experience.
Yeah. And your shop was a whole heck of a lot more cluttered than it is now beforehand, right?
When I started my YouTube channel, yeah, 12 years ago. And, you know, I was of this mindset, and this goes way back, that the best woodworking shops were the ones that you could just see so much stuff in them. There was just all this junk. And then I came to the realization that, wait, I don't really need all this stuff. I'm just getting it for the sake of having it. And that's when I kind of purged everything, painted the walls white. And I'm like, yeah. This is my life. I love it.
So nice and bright in there.
Yeah, I like it. I like it this way. Although I'm not even using lights anymore. I've been just using natural lighting, which is kind of cool too. Melissa, I'm so glad you could be on our podcast, our second guest. You know, I had to pull a few strings to get you on the show, but here we go. I
heard. He knew someone.
Yeah. I know that e-transfer is coming to Chad later. No, you know, I'm so honored. Like, I'm so honored to be on your podcast. I have lived the excitement secondhand through Chad. And, you know, I've heard you guys when, you know, I'm sitting in my office here, I can hear you guys down the hall. And it's becoming better with each episode. And I'm really glad to be a part of it this early on. So thank you so much for inviting me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, this has become my outlet, my hobby that keeps me from going crazy. And you have any last words, Chad?
I don't. You know what? I want to come over and give you a kiss.
Oh, wow. This is if anybody's watching this on video, they're going to see Chad going from his office. And he's going to walk over into Melissa's, and there's the happy together. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to our podcast. Don't forget, you can always follow us over on YouTube. We'll have those links down in the show notes. That's something we can put in the show notes, our link to our YouTube channel. And I forgot, I was going to read one of our Apple Podcast reviews. We'll get to that next week. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts /iTunes, please leave us a review over that and we'll read it on the air. And give us a 5-star rating. We love those 5-star ratings. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.